There is one God, and there is one mediator, Christ Jesus, who came as a ransom for all, to whom we testify.
The same sure and worthy of full acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners and was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in throughout the world, taken up in glory.
God's will is done, and holy relationships are nurtured. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
If you would please remain standing to join us for our praise music. You have a big family, don't you? Well,
How long? Miss Dorothy, how old are you? I can ask you because you're willing to tell because you have a birthday coming up. How old are you going to be, Miss Dorothy?
94. All right.
Because you know what? Her birthday is on the same day that my dad's birthday was. And he would have been 90 years old. So Miss Dorothy is my dad's big sister. And she's your sister as well. Did you ever think you'd have a 94-year-old sister? I bet your parents would probably wonder. My point to all this is today, we are all brothers and sisters, right? So if we're brothers and sisters, those of you that have brothers and sisters or cousins, are you always nice to them?
Always.
I was the baby, they weren't nice to me. They treated me mean sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You too? Your sisters are mean to you sometimes? I'll talk to your mother about that. Well, you know, sometimes we're not very nice to our blood relatives, we call them. And sometimes we're not very nice to the people that are in God's family with us either, are we? Sometimes we treat each other kind of ugly. So what I want us to leave with today is that we're all brothers and sisters. Even Miss Dorothy, at 94 years old, is our sister. So if we're related to these folks, shouldn't we make an effort to be nice to them?
Yes.
I think so too. I know Miss Dorothy agrees with that, don't you? So let's pray and pray that God would use us to be nice to everyone we meet because they happen to be our brothers and sisters. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the message today of family. And no matter how big or little our family seems to be, the children of Christ are all brothers and sisters together. So just bless us as we leave this place today and let us remember those that we meet are our brothers and sisters and be nice to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. You guys going to Sunday school? I need a 17-inch screen.
Yeah, because
he's a sweet kid, right?
I know that he is.
I know that he is. It's the time of our service when we get to go before the Lord in prayer. And according to my list today, we have quite a few needs and folks that need extra attention from God today. So we will be lifting those folks up. We heard this week from Lois Mahoney that her mother, Catherine, had been sick this week and placed in hospice care. She's 104 years old. So our sister in Christ, Miss Catherine, has gone to be with the Lord yesterday. So our condolences to you, Lois. And Lois said what a beautiful life she had and just lived for Christ. So we're celebrating her today as well, but as we mourn with Lois at her loss today. Dan Walsh did have his heart surgery on Tuesday. Talked to Mo yesterday morning, and they were hoping to be sent home yesterday, but I haven't heard that.
He's home.
He is home? Okay, very good. That's a praise. And just continued healing for Dan. Richard Fearbin, I spoke with him last night as well. He continues to need our prayers for peace and comfort. He is doing a little better, so just continue to lift Richard up. Mary Hanna as well had surgery this week and has done well with that, so she's recuperating. Catriona Chanel was in the hospital emergency room yesterday pretty much all day with some stomach problems. So just continue to lift Kat up for her health concerns as well. Violet Simmons, and she continues with her treatments and just continue to pray for you as well. Mary Jane Shank, she's a longtime member of Lakeside. We heard this week that she's having some problems. I haven't been able to make contact with her, so I don't know if she's left the area or is in the hospital. But if you know Mary Jane Shank, please continue to pray and lift her up in your prayers. Marjorie Powell as well had a fall a few weeks ago, or several falls, And we just pray for her to get stronger and continue to get well. Eugene Nussbaum, hopefully get good reports from the doctor this week, and they will be returning back to Illinois. So just continue to pray for Eugene as well. Rob Friend, we're looking him up today for personal issues of his life and addiction problems. So just continue to lift up Rob Friend and Ken and Linda as they deal with that situation as well. Irene Liney has had some stomach problems and will be going in for tests. She's been in the hospital, so continue to lift Irene up in your prayers as well. We do have a praise. Max had his cornea transplant this week, and he actually could find me this morning, so I think that's a good sign. So,
yeah.
Continue to get better, so I'm getting where I can't hide from you anymore.
All right.
Just continue prayers for healing and to get the sight back in that eye. We do have a praise, Tony and Suzanne. They'll be going to Texas on Tuesday to get married.
Oh.
They weren't getting married here, but their family wanted them to go to Texas to do it. So that's a great a blessing for us, Tony and Suzanne, that you'll be going out to Texas on Tuesday to be married. So I wish them the best of luck as well, and a blessing on your marriage out in Texas. So, and I do want to lift up Wanda Bell this morning as well. She's in North Carolina. She as well is under hospice care. Notice thing on your heart that you bring to the Lord this morning. Let's now go before the Lord and take our petitions before the cross. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, our healing God, our intercessor God, we come to you outstretched this morning, Lord, for peace and comfort and healing in the lives of our loved ones, in our own lives. Father, we pray this morning that all those mentioned this morning needing healing would feel your divine touch this morning. And as they continue to undergo treatment and rehabilitation just continue to improve in their health, Father, we pray your peace and comfort over each one of them. Father, I pray today that family members who are caretakers and caregivers would find the strength for one more day. Father, we know the burden falls upon them mightily as they care for people they love and care for the ones that cannot care for themselves. So, Father, I just pray a blessing and anointing upon them this morning. Father, we pray for miracles we witness every day where you have worked your amazing mysteries before our very eyes. I pray that we recognize them, that we give them their due, and that we know that Jesus Christ is our Savior in our midst. Father God, thank you for the gift of your Son. Thank you for free will that you've given us. As we read today from 1 Samuel, sometimes we don't know what's best for us. We pray for things that we should not pray for. Father, we pray your will to be done in those situations and circumstances today in our lives. Father, we as your people are not always aware of what we need the most. I pray today for clarity, for discernment, for the proper heart to receive your blessings. So, Father, just be with us today as we share Holy Communion, as we read the Scripture, as we sing beautiful songs to you. We pray that you would touch us in a way today that is new for the first time, that we would feel your presence dwelling within us, that we would see you on the face of a neighbor, that we would see you in the lives of children, that we would see you in the lives of the ones we love and can witness to that love to others. So, Father, be with us today as we proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ once again. As we reach out to our community, our friends, our family, our loved ones that maybe have turned their back on you, Father, we pray today that their eyes would be opened, that you would make an impact in their lives. So, Father, bless our time together today. Let us continue to worship and praise the Son of Jesus, the Son of Jesus Christ, our Savior, in whose name I pray. Amen. for the work that you have called us to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not that they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. As they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly and let them know what the king who will reign over them will do." Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "This is what the king who will reign over you will do. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants. Your men servants and maid servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourself will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, and the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to listen to Samuel. "No," they said, "we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and go out before us and fight our battles." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these words from Samuel this morning. Father, they do ring true in our lives today as well. We know not what to ask for our own good. Father, be with us in the message today. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Do we in our lives like to have someone ruling over us?
No.
Now, as a rule, we would say no. But you know what? In the big picture, isn't it better to have someone else making the decisions for us so that blame doesn't fall on us? Yes, right? When we have no one overseeing us, then we're responsible for our own actions. The people of Israel in this scripture were talking about their neighbors. Their neighbors all had kings. And they wanted one. Devin had a 15-inch screen on his computer. I wanted one. Do you get my point? Don't we want what others have? Even if it's not good for us? That's why I titled this, Watch What You Wish For. Those of you that pray and have long prayer lives, years, years, years of praying, and you had prayed for something so hard and so fast, "Lord, I've got to have this happen in my life." If you're like me 20 years down the road, you're saying a prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for not listening to me.
Amen.
Anyone experience that? Thinking you knew what you needed or wanted and pray so hard and be so upset with God that he didn't deliver. And years down the road, you say, "Phew, boy, I'm lucky, aren't I? God didn't answer that prayer." We've got to be careful what we wish for. When we have no king, and I'm going to refer to king as someone that has dominion over us. In the United States, we call that Uncle Sam. You have to die and you have to pay taxes. There's someone watching over us. Now I, for one, because I'm a bad manager of money, when times go bad and the economy crashes, and I say, "Boy, those darn politicians in Washington have ruined me. I didn't have anything to do with it. We've got to watch calling for a king to be over us. And then it's easy for us to lose our direction. Israel, they were doing all the right things. They were having church. They were doing their sacrifices. They gave their tithes. They offered prayers. But their hearts were far from God. Are our hearts as a world today far from God? I think we see proof of it in our lives today. In those days, there was no king over Israel. Everyone had to do what they saw as right for them. Boy, my life sure goes good when I can do what's right, that I think what's right for me. You all agree with that?
No.
Left to our own devices, we're probably not very good, are we? If we follow the ways of the Lord, we're given guidance. Ezekiel 34:6 says, "My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them." That makes me sad to think no one would be searching for us. The shepherd and the lost sheep, the 99 and the one. Anyone been the one?
Amen.
Have we all been a part of the 99? I know some of you, and that's not true. When we have no king over us, we can lose our protection. We lose our protection. Israel in those days were a nation of many individual little colonies, little townships, little kingdoms. They were all independent. But the one thing that held them together in the beginning was their unifying belief in God. Their relationship with God. God had promised to be their defender, to be their shield. But they had to do His will. Now we like to beat up those old Israelites and say, boy, they just messed up time after time after time in their history. But if we're to be protected, don't we have to reside where the protector lives? Can we run from our protector and then always expect the protector to be there for us? You hear me say, when all else fails, pray. When we've done everything we can, then let's go to God. And then we can blame God. Why, God, did you let this happen? God allowed us to make decisions to allow things to happen. Without a king, we can lose our convictions. We can lose our power and our presence. The children of Israel first arrived in the promised land. They served God with their whole hearts. They gave themselves to the work of the Lord. But as time went on, they began to look at the folks around them. The ones that had more. The ones that seemed less stressed by their way of life. And they wanted to be a part of that. They had become accustomed to the ways of the people in which they were living with. They saw what was going on around them and then began to accept and adopted many of their customs. The idols that they had, the Israelites said, oh, that looks like fun. Maybe that'll work for us. Do we see that in our world today? They gave in to others' gods, lusts, their own shortcomings, their own desires. Do we see that in our world today? It's all around us. I hope we're not living in a bubble. We've got to see what's happening around us. I mentioned praying. We have a tendency to pray for things that aren't really good for us in the long run. I say it all the time, I never pray for patience anymore because God will test your patience.
Amen.
So that's why I say be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you pray for. Just because your neighbor has it and seems to be doing pretty well with it, it might not be the same story for you. Most of the time we think we know what's best for us. But unless we use God's example, if we don't go to Scripture, and if we don't study the Word of God, we're running around without our King. This has sort of been a theme now for the last couple of months. Through Lent, through Pentecost. But standing here before you telling you that we can't do this on our own. And when we do try it, and I talk to people every day almost, of people trying to do it their own way. They're willing to ask for help, but they're not willing to use it directly. I have occasion when I pray for people, and I have had opportunities to pray on the sidewalk this week. And when I do, my heart's a little sad because I know these folks aren't listening to what I'm praying. They ask for prayer, but they don't put it into practice.
Amen.
They think because they ask me to pray, or I volunteer to pray, I always volunteer to pray with folks. Sometimes I say, oh, that might come. Yeah, it might, if you believe it. If you live your life knowing it can happen. So that's what we're looking at with the Israelites this morning. The people of Israel, they had no clear, visible leader, but they wanted someone to be over them. Did you read at the end of that scripture? It said all they wanted was somebody to go to battle for us, lead us. They didn't say we'll be right behind you in battle. They said to go do battle for us. We're missing the boat, folks. Just like the Israelites, we're feeling threatened, we're feeling insecure. When we call and plead out to God for help and not really believe that He can change things in our lives. Our natural reaction as human beings is to take things into our own hands. I've suffered from that most of my life. On occasion I say, God, I got this, don't worry about it. If I have any trouble, I'll call on you. That's dangerous. When God led the Israelites out of bondage, and Moses was their leader, and they knew Moses was their leader, Moses went away for a little while, and what did the people do? Immediately turned from God. Tried to do it on their own. When Moses got back, they called him, Moses, we would just as soon go back to Pharaoh. We know what we had there. The same guy that oppressed us. Oppression is better than the unknown. I think a lot of times when people are in the midst of addiction and things that tear them apart in their life, but they're familiar with it. They're afraid of the unknown. Does that sound like that could be a true statement? Stay in our bondage to addiction and sin because we know what we have. The biggest obstacle for people that I see is their acceptance of Jesus Christ in their lives and what that might do for them. Might do to them. How it will change them. think a lot of times they know the change is for good, but it's a change that's unknown to them. So let's just stay here where we're at. When we lose our king, we lose our identity. We lose who we were, who we are. We're just people now in the world. The Israelites, they turned their back on God. They no longer thought of themselves as the chosen people. They lost that. They thought they were like everyone else. They didn't act like chosen people anymore. They blended into the culture and society around them. They watered themselves down. They were no longer God's special people. They were now a point of pain and disappointment for God. But thank goodness for us, God's mercy is everlasting. You believe that God will keep coming back for us?
Amen.
You all are lucky I'm not God, because I would have given up on most of us a long time ago. I get tired chasing people around, trying to convince them. God never gets tired of us wandering away. He wanted his people back. He wanted to be their king, their defender, their provider, their hope. I hope we leave here today with a sense of hope. We need God to rule over us. I'm going to end with a story today. One of those stories that, I can see this in my own life. I can see this in the life of someone I love. I like the outdoors. This story is about ducks. Some wild ducks, as they were taking their annual migration, they were flying high up in the sky, and they're flying along, and they look down into this farmyard and they see these domesticated ducks. Corn on the ground, they have plenty to eat, nice warm place to sleep. So Uncle Bob, the guy about fourth from the back in the back of that nice V, he said, "Hey, that looks pretty handy." He veers off, he flies down, he lands among the flock of domestic ducks, and he begins to eat their food. He stayed with them for a while, and then he got up and he flew on and rejoined his brothers and sisters. On the way back, flying north, he remembers, boy, they had a lot of food there. As they come over the farm, he veers off and down in, and he stops and he eats and just fills himself, gorges himself so much that now when they kept flying, he said, I'll catch you on the way back. The next spring, the flock comes over and he sees them. He's so big and fat by this point. He's running, trying to fly, and he says, "No, I'll just wait here for you." And they came back in the fall as he's gorging on all the food he can eat and the nice surroundings. He looked, just glances up and lets them pass. That was the last time he ever looked up at them. He had fallen into this sense of security, living with not his kind, and falling into the trap of domestication. Do we see ourselves in that story? Do we see some of our loved ones in that story? Who at one time, maybe ourselves or our loved ones, committed themselves to Christ. And now they don't even look up. Just keep gorging themselves on the things of the world. My prayer for you today is that that would not be our story, your story. That the story we've heard today is a story of a God who never gives up on us. Who never gives up on us. Does that make you feel good?
Yeah.
I hope so. Because if not, that's our only hope. if at the end of our 104 years of life for Miss Catherine, we're to say, no big deal. It's God there. 104 years with our head down in the grave, eating without ever looking up. We need to look up, folks. And when we look up, we find ourselves at the foot of the cross. When we look up, we see a Savior who has given Himself for us. When we look up, we have hope. I pray today that no one here is hopeless. And if for no other reason you came to church today to have your hope renewed. There is renewal in this meal we're going to share. That's what God has given us, His Son, Jesus Christ. His Son is our only hope. Let's not get fat and lazy in our beliefs and in our faith. Let's be on fire for God. Let's be on fire for the Word of God to change lives. Do you believe it can still happen today?
Amen.
It absolutely can. Our world is in desperate need of it. Hear this invitation. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Please join me. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be in an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us from joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to You, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in Your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, Your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through Your prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. When nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so with Your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise Your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord.
Holy are You, and blessed is Your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed Him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when You would save Your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of His suffering, death, and resurrection, You gave birth to Your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. At his ascension, he exalted him to sit and reign with you at the right hand. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed and gave himself freely for us, at the table he took bread and he broke it and said, "Take it, eat, for this is my body broken for you, given to you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." On that same night he took the cup and he raised it to his Father in heaven and said, "Bless this, Lord God. For this is my blood poured out for the new covenant made with you. Take and drink. Do this in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will.
Amen.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray together. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power,
those helping with communion, please come forward. Father God, receive our prayer of thanksgiving. Father, we are so grateful that you sent your Son here to find us, to make us one with him. Father, thank you for the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for being our family, for being our brother. Thank you, Christ. In your name I pray. Amen. Please stand for our closing hymn, "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." Amen.
Jesus, take me.
Dear Lord, let it be. Let God's grace, peace, and power go before us. Let us know that we are His. Let us know that we take the good news of Jesus Christ out into the world from this place. As brothers and sisters in Christ, let us now go forth with a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.